to come up with the right words, to thank him for being who he is. And I was looking all through the ABCs and I just got stuck and just looked down and said, you're just amazing. He's amazing. The music, and in my spirit, see, I no longer belong to me. The spirit that dwells in me, it makes a difference. When I was in the world, I used to belong to Felix, and I would be in the club and I hear something and it was crazy lyrics and I jump up and say, that's my song. But my spirit, when they were playing and they were singing, now he's amazing and he's been so good to me. My spirit said, that's my song. He's so good. Up here, they wild about Jesus. You can tell. Because really, you don't even need no lyrics. When they start playing, you just start feeling it. All right. This month, all right, last month we were really diving deep in the message of hope. And we're gonna stay right there because hope should bring praise. Okay? If you're hoping in your situation, when your situation changes, you praise. If you're hoping in God, you know he controls the situation, so you just praise because of who he is. And I do believe he wanted us to know he's amazing. Yes. Do I have any believers in here? Let me tell you something. When I was in the semiconductor world, I was working, and I was working with a manager who was an atheist. And I was unsaved and living worldly and prodigal. And God saved me. And the atheist met me one day after work. He said, "You know, I never believed in God until I seen the change in you." He said, "Because the only way you could have changed, it would have took a God move." So he told me, "Because of you, I believe that there is a God." So I bought him a Bible, and the rest is amen. I wanted to just encourage you today, because in the midst of all this we go through, we forget. We serve an amazing, yeah, he's mighty, yeah, he's strong, yeah, he can do anything, right? That just sums it up. And you can look in the mirror and see that you're not the same. I want you to turn, because this month we're going to deal with praise. Is there any praisers in here? Look, if you're not a praiser and a worshiper, stay in your seat. But if you're a praiser and a worshiper, I want you to rest on your feet. You don't have to stand up if you're not a praiser. But if you're a praiser and a worshiper, rest on your feet. Let me say something to you. If you used to make a lot of noise when you were out in the world, and now you're gonna come to God and sit there all quiet and reserved, that means you're a liar. So you might as well break that curse today with your radical self. If you were radical for the world, I want you, everybody, give God a radical praise. Come on and praise. Come on and praise. Let's get in this word. We're going to have to bring them back. Will y'all stay close by? Because you got a spirit today that's ready to break loose. We're going to hear from the Lord. After we hear from the Lord, can we just let them loose? Praise team. Y'all get ready, Levites. We're going to hear from God. And y'all come back up and light it up. Because he's amazing. What that sister that was leading that song? If I had a holy brick, I'd... Because she wasn't singing. She was ministering. Yeah, that came from the depths. She was singing, I was seeing all the hardships she done went through. Because you can't, look, you can't minister like that unless you've been through some stuff. Man, okay, let's get this word. All right, the word this month, praise. All right, it's coming, with the theme scripture is coming from Isaiah 38, verse number 19. All right, can we read that together? Can everybody in here read? If you can't read it on the wall, nudge your neighbor and say, help me read it. Because we're gonna do this together. Let's go. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Say, I'm a praiser. Now look at somebody and tell them, make it known. Amen. We're going to stay in the same chapter, chapter number 38, verse 1 is our text today. Chapter 38, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, turn there quickly. We're going to hear from the Lord. We're going to get out of the way and praise him. He deserves it. Whew. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this divine opportunity that you have made for us, we your children. We declare, Father, that we totally belong to you. And if we've had problems submitting to your will, we ask for forgiveness. As a heart of repentance, Lord, help us that we will not be snared by the flesh, but be surrender to your will. We need your strength. Father, we thank you for this divine opportunity that you've given us that we may feast on your word today. Thank you for this invitation. Thank you for your grace that God is here. And now, Lord, we ask that you would take every thought captive, that our minds would be open and receptive to hear from you, that after you minister spirit to spirit, that the spirit would just change our mind, that we would become more like you. Father, we know that that is your divine will. Therefore, we consider it done, and we tell you thank you. And now, Father, as I stand here on holy ground, knowing that I don't deserve it and I'm not worthy to even be in these shoes, but it was your choice. And now, Lord, I surrender. Help me to be so submissive that I would be out of your way and into your will. Let your spirit manifest that we would hear from you. And after all is said and done, that you alone will be glorified, the body will be edified, and the devil will be horrified. God, we thank you for being so amazing. In Jesus' name, amen. Man. Beginning at verse 1, it says, in those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned. He got some bad news. He got some bad news. Anybody ever get some bad news? Notice what Hezekiah does when he receives the worst news ever. It says, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. Now we know exactly what to do. And said, remember now, O Lord, I pray how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I got to pause right there. Somebody needed to know this. God has heard your prayer. If God heard it, that settles it. Just believe that you have put your prayer in the right hands, and he knows exactly what to do with your prayer request. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Oh, surely I will add to your days 15 years. He said, I'm not going to let this trouble you for 15 years. You're going to be all right. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow of the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. God says, I can't lie, but I'll change time back that what you was told don't affect you. Oh, goodness. He's so awesome. Isn't he amazing? He said, I will change the time for the ones who will call on me and believe. Now let's skip over to verse number 16. He says, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live. Indeed, it is for my own peace that I have great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. Amen. Listen, if you can't praise him for nothing, you ought to go have a conniption. All your sins he didn't put behind his back. Man. Then he says, verse 18 says, for Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living man, he shall praise you. As I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to his children. I gotta stop right there. I want to give you a topic today. Make your praise known.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, make it known. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You know, God is so awesome that he speaks to us, and he never messes up in his speech. He gives us so much clarity, and he's telling us that we are to praise. And now during this season, normally we prepare a whole bunch of messages about the coming of Christ and how he was born and all of this stuff, but there was something that we need to know from the gate, is that even before God created the heavens and the earth, that the Lamb had already been born and was slain, and it gave us what was called life. We received life from the very beginning. God had already set this whole thing up. And so the earthly realm is what we live in, the world. And the world has really tried to put a mask over everything that God is doing. And we have fallen for it in one way or another. And we have become so worldly as it relates to Christ's birthday that we argue and fight over when he was truly born, when it really don't make a difference. Because let me share something with you. He was born every day. He was, because he was born in each one of us. And every believer was born within the 365 days of the year. Therefore, we ought to celebrate Christ's birthday every day. But yet, at a time like this, we see others that have a Christmas tree and shopping and buying this and buying that. And then we begin to look at what we don't have and what we would like to have. And we have left the true meaning of the season. The world has really grasped the church and said, let's do it the world way. And the church has been guilty of not giving the instructions that's coming from the heavenly realm. I am saying that. And then if they are getting the instruction, we as the body have been so commercialized and been paying so much attention to the commercials that we think more of what's going on in the world than we think about what's going on in the Word. It is a shame. Therefore, it leaves us powerless when God has created us to be powerful, which means we are full of power. And that's why Paul writes in Ephesians 3:20 that he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever hope or think by the power that worketh in us. And we keep looking at what we want and the desires, and then we become frustrated because we don't have certain things. That is where the enemy has really tricked you, because we learned last month we have the riches of God's glory, the hope in us already. So we already have everything. Paul says it this way: he has equipped us with every spiritual blessing. Which means that when we start operating in the will of God, then we could have everything that God has. He created everything, and everything belongs to him, and he made it for his children. So why don't we possess it? The reason why we don't possess the things of God is because we keep going after the things of the world. You ought to write that down. The reason why you don't possess all the things of God is because we go after the things of the world. Do you know that we set agendas? We set agendas on things of the world, and we don't set agendas on the things of Christ. You will pattern your day. You will mark out your day for all the things you got to do, but have not even marked in the things of what God would want you to do. Most of us will start off, I got to do this, 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 and this, and didn't even write down that I have to have a conversation with God to see how he's going to direct me today. Therefore, because we start wrong, we end wrong. So if you start off the day without God, you will end the day frustrated. I want you, you got to know, if you start off with God, no matter what happens in your day, if you start off with him and you just stay with him, no matter what happens in your day, you will be happy. Because that's all you got. In God, it's good. And if you stay with him, it's all good. That's why when stuff is going crazy and you still with God, and people say, how you holding up? And he says, it's all good. Why? Because it's all God. There's only one thing missing, now I get it. Oh, okay. Just said 1-0. It's all God. It's all God. When we understand that God is doing everything, God makes you happy. God gives you joy. You waiting for joy from getting a gift that you think will give you joy, and when it breaks, your joy breaks. Don't you mess around and buy you a new Mercedes. And you paying all that money for it, and that joker break down on you. See, a couple of you didn't had a car before and was happy when you got it. Let it break down. This world has us focused on worldly stuff so that when things you don't have, it depresses you. But you already have everything. And you got him. So you ought to be happy. And if we shift our focus, and you say, I don't have this anymore, I lost this, you say, but I still got God. God is still with me. And the thing about it is, God is so awesome. I lost my job. So how about this? Hey, God just blessed me to be jobless. I'm so happy because that job was killing me anyway. And the folks on that job, they was making me crazy. As a matter of fact, I couldn't even go to church. Now I can go to church. How about people just getting happy because they know that God is ordering the steps in your life and he is directing your life and he is in control of your life and he will work everything out for your good. But this man, Hezekiah, he's king. He's king and he's reigning and God has blessed him because he comes in behind his dad and his dad was living a little crazy and taking on some idol worship and he comes in and he gets rid of all the idol stuff and he comes to know God. And then he starts telling the Levites, get together, we're going to praise God today. And so he's ordering the Levites to praise God. He starts off every day praising God and giving thanks to God. This king, and he was faced with trouble coming from everywhere, but no matter how much trouble he was faced with, God always made a way for him to come out victorious. This king, whoo, he was bad. The king of Judah, the king of praise. Couldn't you know it? This brother was bad. He was a worshiper. He praised God. And everybody was coming up against him because they had more men and they were more powerful. And God kept giving him victory. Now, can you imagine God giving you so much victory in your life and all of a sudden you get the worst news ever? He's hanging out with the prophet, the mouthpiece of God, Isaiah. And Isaiah say, love you, bruh. But you're going to die. God told me. Now, can you imagine everything that Isaiah prophesied? God was using him as a mouthpiece, and it came true. And he kept telling Hezekiah every battle that you looks like you're going to lose. You're going to win because God's going to give you victory. Then he comes up to him and say, you're dying. That's some bad news. You know, as king, I'm thinking, I try to get in the Bible. And just live like him. I'm thinking, man, I'm king. Somebody tell me I'm going to die. Every doctor in the Providence is going to be over to see me. You know how we do. Now, first thing he does is he turns and he begins to praise God through prayer. It wasn't about what Hezekiah said. It was about who he said it about. He said, God said you're going to die. So if God said it, he went to talk to God. He said, God, don't you remember me? And I remember you. But his prayer was a little deeper than what we've seen at first. He was crying out to God. Has anybody in here been crying out to God before? Crying out to God, and God knows your voice. Hezekiah was crying out, so then he began to tell him, hey, look here, if I'm going to die, then who going to thank you? He says, I can't praise you from the grave. God said, oh, yeah, I like me some praise. And so God remembers your praise. Because when you make it known that he is who he is and you praise him for who he is, he remembers that praise. But if you just praising him for what he could do, he knows that too. But is there anybody in here that just recognize that God is who he is? He's just amazing all by himself. And just we're ready to give him that praise. God remembers that praise. Do you know?
Sir.
Do you know we get embarrassed? Some of us get embarrassed about being a praiser. Before you came to church, you'd be all in the hallways at school. Hey! Then you come to church. Hey. Loudest one at the school. And some of you at the bar. Loudest one at the bar. Come to church. Gotta be. It don't take all that. If you gave the devil all that, surely you, God is greater than him. You can give God. Oh, goodness. You know, I thought about praise, and I remember my mom. She was wild. I used to play baseball. I was young and going in junior high school, and she'd come to my game, and I'm in the game. I get up to bat, and soon as I step into the batter's box, all you could hear, I'm telling you, all you could hear is her voice, and she wasn't ashamed. She said, "That's my baby." And in case you couldn't understand words, but you could spell good, she said, "B-A-B-Y, baby, he's my baby." And so I would go to school the next day, and all the kids would see me coming down the hall and say, "B-A-B-Y." And so because she wasn't afraid, she didn't care. Everybody at school would come to the game just to hear her praise. They didn't care nothing about the game. What am I saying? When you begin to praise God like you're crazy and you know who he is and you make it known to other folks are gonna get infected by your praise unto the Most High God. Is there anybody here that wants to make it known that I am a praiser? This guy, he deals with the praise. And he gets to the 19th verse, and he says, the living man shall praise you. Now, this is what Hezekiah says. Now, get this. Hezekiah is a king, but he's kicking it with a prophet. Because he's hanging with a prophet, he begins to speak prophecy. Wait a minute. How do you know? Well, David, a man after God's own heart, David writes in Psalms 146, verse 2, "The living, because I live, I shall praise you." He says, the living shall praise you. He starts to speak prophecy while he's right there with God, and he doesn't stop there. Said the living. No, wait. The living. How many of you are alive?
Hallelujah.
Now check this out. The devil told every one of you, you're gonna die. He did. He told you. You had a death sentence on you. Somebody say, but God. He said, the living shall praise. Now, you have to understand that you was dead to you. But when Jesus came, you became living. He said, you shall have life and have it more abundantly. So when Christ came into you, life came into you. Understand, when he's speaking, he is speaking of the living. While you are alive, God wants praise from you. Amen. The devil wants you to shut up. He wants you to sit there and act too cute to praise. Let me tell you why. Because two things happen in praise. The first thing that happens is the Bible says, God inhabits the praise of his people. Which means when you begin to praise, God comes down into your situation. If God comes into your situation, every demonic spirit has to leave. So you shouldn't be standing there talking about what the devil's doing. You should be releasing a praise unto God. Because the more you talk about what he's doing, you're holding him there. Look, forget that joker. I'm going to talk about Jesus. Amen. And when all stuff is going on, you're amazing. You're so amazing. Can you imagine telling him how amazing he is? Every one of you like to be told. I don't care who you, look, women, you fall in love with a guy, he's, oh, you're so amazing. Oh, you just do anything, right? Anything. Why? Because that's praise. And men, you could be cutting the lawn and say, I'm going to cut the back next week. And your wife come out and tell you, honey, you're doing such a good job. You're just so amazing. I know the backyard will look even better. You'll stop on the front and go do the back and then come back to the front. Just because when I'm just talking about praise right now. And that's how God is. If you want God to move in your situation, start praising him and telling him how amazing he is. Now that's amazing. He said, now get this, put it back up there. The living man shall praise you. As I do when? How about tomorrow? Tomorrow becomes, and then the next day will become. And so what should we do? When? David said, I will bless the Lord and his praise. Okay, so if we understand that, why do we keep talking about crazy stuff that don't help us? If it ain't working, I'm not going to talk about it. I ain't going to talk about you. I'm talking about him. Now you're amazing. So can you understand what happens when you begin to praise God? Listen, if you're going through something that you know only God can help you, I don't want you to raise your hand or nothing because I don't want people saying, oh, they're going through. I want you to just wink at it. Just give me a wink. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. because God wants you to know he already heard you and he sent me by to tell you if you believe that you have brought it to the right one and he heard you, then you ought to praise him before he gets done. Amen. Give him a praise on credit because he's credit worthy. He has never bounced a check. He has fulfilled every bill. God has answered every prayer. He has become the answer. As a matter of fact, he is the answer to everything. Now get this, let's tie it up and we're gonna go home. He said, this day, then he breaks this down. He said, the Father shall make known your truth. The Father shall make known your truth. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. What is the truth? John 14:6. 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 What is the truth? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, praise me because I am the truth. And everything else that got delivered to you is nothing but a lie. And if it looks dead, I am Jesus, the resurrection. I am the truth. Don't focus on what's dead. Focus on the truth. Is there anybody in here that knows that Jesus is the truth? Give him a praise. Everything that was said that looks dead, I want folks to stand up that's facing stuff that you say, I don't know how it's gonna work out. Is there anybody in here with some crazy faith? That was one thing about Hezekiah. His name meant the strength of the Lord. See, and he had crazy faith. His faith made him praise God. And if I use my sanctified imagination, when he began to tell God, you can't get a praise from me if I'm in the ground. But while I'm here, God, you're amazing. You're so amazing. I don't know what you're gonna do tomorrow, but right now, today, you're so amazing. Now that's amazing, because you're amazing. Is there anybody in here that knows that God is amazing and ready to make it known? Give him a crazy praise. Come on up here, amazing. Come on up here. Let him know how amazing he is.